We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys. Today we're talking about Severance, Season 2, Episode 6, entitled Attila. It's Ryan and your boy, Adam. Adam, say hi.
I'm here. Ryan's back from vacation. We're a little late. Sorry. Not sorry, but you know.
You just said a phrase that people say quickly, sorry, not sorry, but in a like a real sorry. You know what? No.
No, I'm not sorry. I'm not, and neither should you be. So.
And neither should you be. Let's talk Severance, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as Adam mentioned, I was gone on vacation last week, which is why we had to skip the episode, but we're doing this real quick to talk about Season 2, Episode 6. And yeah, when I was in Florida, I was just like on the Velocicoaster for like...
Oh! Just, you went on it?
It's the coolest roller coaster I've ever been on.
I'm so jealous.
There were so many times where I was just like... I'm floating in the air.
Yeah. Oh, I want to go on it so badly.
It rips, dude.
Right on. But,
so, okay, this is going to be a condensed recap and then vibe discussion. Because, again, we're doing this, right, like back-to-back.
Yes.
During the circumstances with Seven, and Seven is a gosh dang masterpiece, so I want to spend as much time on it as possible. But, and just like inside baseball, we record this on weeknights from 5:15 to 6 p.m. So it's always between us and dinner. So like, there are all those moving factors. Let's go into the episode. So quick recap. I'm just going to do the whole episode.
Just yeah, please just smash it. Just smash into it, dude. Let's just do it.
Okay.
Just integrate.
So,
you know?
Yeah. All right. So. The episode opens and Mark is tearfully telling Ragabi, we're never going to say that name right, about his vision of Gemma, being real sad that she did not seem to recognize him. And Ragabi assures him that the two will be reunited, but she definitely doesn't know that. She has no idea.
She seems
pretty confident. Anyway, in the office, Dylan tells Mark and Helly about finding Irving's drawing, the thing on the back of the cat poster, that had directions to the exports hall in the break room. And Helly decides that she's going to go recover that thing herself.
Ooh.
Mark then experiences like super vivid reintegration hallucinations. He's sort of losing it in real time. And meanwhile, all of this is happening. Milchick takes the rest of the day off to address the infractions that came out of his performance review, which led to Miss Hong being in charge of the severed floor for the afternoon, and it was revealed that she is like in a fellowship, like a she's like a fellowship intern with Lumen.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Right. I was really hoping your commentary was going to be, yeah, that's true.
yeah, you're right.
You're right, man. In the bathroom, Mark confesses to Helly that he and Helena had sex during the ORPO, and she
during the ORPO.
What a crazy few words that is. And he's like, I thought it was you, Helly. Which Helly had to think about for a second, but then comes back and is like, oh yeah, you thought it was me, like it's totally fine. Which I really did enjoy the logical moment of that, of like, oh yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Feeling that Helena stole that experience from her, which she did.
Yeah.
Helly decides to create her own memory, and they bang in a makeshift tent.
And, you know, at first I was like, this is weird.
It's weird.
It's weird. And then I was like, you know, like if I was in that situation and I liked that person, I'd probably be like, hey, I want to do it too, dude. Like, give it to me too.
It just weird. It just reads to me as weird because they're babies, you know?
Yeah, mentally babies. They're babies. Right?
And I don't like it.
It's the first thing that comes to your brain.
I don't like it. After that, Mark has another nosebleed, and Miss Wong performs a checkup on him. But Mark is like, y'all, I'm fine. But Miss Wong is like, what? It's weird.
Nah.
Because she, I don't know, she's picking up what the world is putting down. She's a good intern, and she's like a good intern for an evil corporation.
Yeah,
so she's,
right.
You know, she's like Anakin Skywalker prior to being Darth Vader. And she's like, I don't know about that nosebleed, my guy.
She's impressionable.
Yeah, I guess. But also good at it.
Yeah, she's good at being impressionable.
That at like, no, not good at being impressionable. Just good at like picking up weird cues and the theremin.
And the theremin. Yeah.
Then we go to the Audi visitation suite and Gretchen visits Dylan again. And Dylan says that he wishes that just he could be with her and they share a passionate kiss. Oh my God, that's going to be a whole thing. Obviously, this is pretty straightforward. Like the first time that they met in the Audi visitation suite, we were kind of all called this, right? Like this is the easiest call shot in the show. And then Gretchen then compounds that with lying to Dylan's Audi that her visitation session was canceled when we know it wasn't. And they did a smooch.
So, like, is this, like, I don't know how to process that if I was Dylan. Like, because it's not cheating. Is it cheating? Like, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's a weird dynamic, and I'm interested to see how they
No, I'll come off
it.
The top ropes. Yeah, it is. It's cheating for
it's
sure.
Is it cheating?
100%, yeah. She lied about it. You know how I know it's cheating? She lied.
Sure, but it's with him. Like, this is
no,
the dynamic.
It's not.
Like
it's with baby Dylan, dude.
It's with it, which is worse. She's a pedo, dude.
Gross.
What
it's
in
gross.
The world?
They're all being so gross.
But they know they want it, Ryan.
That makes
they're
it
old
worse.
Enough to know. They're old enough to know.
No, they're not. Okay. Milchick / Milkshake, meanwhile, is spending time in the supply closet putting paper clips on things. It was very, very funny.
Oh, yeah. I loved that.
And also simplifying his speech in the mirror, which is a great scene,
man.
Oh, my God. Tramell Tillman is so good.
Whoa, this scene stole the episode, for sure.
I mean, he's stealing the whole season. Like a he should win Best Supporting Actor. I really hope he does.
Like, I went back and read the lines, and it's just... Like, it's just so smart, man. This show is written so smart. And the whole set, like, you can break it down into one word. And it's just, no one realizes that. Like, no one picks that up. But it was so straightforward in the lens. And my God. And just, like, him staring at the camera was so uneasy. Ugh, I loved it.
We then go to Mark and Ragavi, and they're doing another reintegration session. And... Mark is still having trouble recalling details about the severed floor. And Ragavi's like, well, we could just like kick this up a notch and like flood your severance chip to accelerate the reintegration process. But Mark says like, no, this is the second time where he's like, no, I'm going to storm off. And then 8 seconds later, he's like, wait, I'm in.
Put me in, coach.
Come in. I'm back in the game. And the reason that he's back in the game is because he goes to a restaurant. Helena is there. Surprise. Coincidence.
Yeah, weird.
And they flirt, and Helena probes for details about the OTC. She brings up Gemma, which is not very nice of her, and refers to her by the wrong name, when she definitely knows Gemma's name. And then Mark is like, I gotta go.
There are so many theories around this scene that's floating around the internet. And
describe them to me.
Well, so one of them is that Hannah is her actual real name, and that she slipped up. That Gemma is, because, well, you find it out in episode 7, like about Lumen and their history, but like that Gemma is actually a Lumen employee and her name is actually Hannah, like even before her and Mark met, and that was her slip up potentially. Like that was a theory. There was a few others. I don't want to spend time on it, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I neither do I, but like it, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if something like that happened.
I would. I don't want it.
Yeah. And then also there's like little Easter eggs throughout this episode too. And one of them was like the name of the restaurant where half of it was illuminated and the full name of the restaurant is Grandfather. And the half, the end half was illuminated and it just said Father as Mark Keir. Was walking out. Dude.
It's all Keir.
And it's all Keir.
Meanwhile, Irving joins Bert and his husband Fields. Fields taking a break from eating grapes gross in Lord of the Rings for dinner at their home. Bert is recalling the pastor at his former church declaring that innies and outies have separate souls. Okay.
Oh, man.
And says that he underwent severance in the hopes that his innie would go to heaven because he feels as though his outie is already damned. Huh. Why? Why do you feel that way, Bert? And Fields then blurts out that Bert has been with Lumen for 20 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, longer than the time he's been on the severed floor.
And longer than severance has been invented, which is 12 right. years ago.
Yeah, wild. And there's a bunch of theories on this one, too, circulating the internet. And one of them was that Bert was the first one to, like, do tests on people yeah. for severance. And that's why he's, like, he, like, killed a bunch of people. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he was. I think he did like weird testy stuff that's happening down on the testing floor, and mm-hmm. it didn't go well. I that one seems more plausible to me. Where like,
sure,
yeah, I don't know. Bert dumped a bunch of bodies back in the Lumen pool, and then he got another job.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the theories that people come up with on the internet, some of them are like kind of make me angry because I don't want to know if that's the one, you know, I want to be surprised. So I've like kind of drawn back my readings like into these episodes because I want to be surprised. I don't want someone to tell me what happens, you know.
During that visit where Irving's at Bert and Fields, Mr. Drummond breaks into his home and finds the notes that Irving has gathered on Lumen's employees. So. What is Lumen gonna do to Audi Irving? It's definitely not gonna be positive.
No, no. I think he, I don't know if he's gonna survive this season.
No, and I think the level at which that Lumen comes at Irving's Audi is going to inform like who Lumen is as a whole going forward.
Yeah.
Like they are a regular type of evil right now, they are an all encompassing. Evil force, but they are not like a military dictatorship that kills people outwardly right. and in front of everyone and is like, we get to do this because we can. And and is that where we're going? And
right.
if it is, I think the way that we'll know, or at least the way that that path will be laid, is how they treat Irving's Audi with now the information that he's digging.
Mm-hmm.
Mark then returns home and decides to proceed with the surgically expedition of his reintegration. And Rugabi opens the incision of Mark's skull. Gross. And goes to a severance chip that was implanted and injects a fluid into that thing, and it makes the chip all wet, and it and then she reseals it. It was so gross.
Yeah,
and
it was very Matrix. I actually kind of liked it.
I didn't like this. I don't like when scalpel stuff happens. Don't even let me see it. I don't want to.
And you're watching The Pit.
Dude, The Pit's tough. I love The Pit so much. It's one of the best shows on television, probably second to Severance. And every time they show a bunch of stuff on that show, and I'm just like, no, 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 no. Eyes closed, closed. Never again. Anyway, no, gross. Mark then experiences flashes of having sex with Helly. Mm. And Rugabi warns him to keep his head still, but Mark hears Devin entering and goes to say hi. As they talk, he quickly becomes like completely disoriented and collapses on the floor, which is bad. And it seems as though like it's one of those things where Rugabi's like, no, he'll wake up, and the world, including the audience, is like, but will he?
Yeah, this was part of the episode that kind of made my skin crawl when he hit the floor. Because
ooh, the thump, dude.
Yeah, they say like, don't move your head around, and the first thing he does is faint and smack his head on the hardwood floor.
Like, yeah, and it hit like if you have a subwoofer, yeah. it rocked.
Yeah,
but like it shook bones.
That did more for like making my skin crawl than like a scalpel on his head, you know. And like I don't know why, but yeah.
In the line of episodes of this season, I think this will be slightly forgotten as an episode because it is right before Chikai Bardo, which is a whole thing that we'll talk about, obviously. But I think it's a really strong episode, and as the rest of, like, all of them are. Yeah, just a lot of preamble. And then, again, like you said, the Dylan stuff, the Irving stuff, they're really just laying tracks for, guys, it's going really poorly for all four of our main characters for a lot of different reasons. Like, they're not leaving behind the fact that Dylan's life is about to get real messed up, as is Irving's. And I'm just glad that they're not, as I said, leaving them behind.
Yeah, no, no, no. I mean, they're definitely side character stories now. But yeah, this show is so weaved together nicely. Like, I don't feel like people are forgotten. You know, at the beginning we said, oh, I hope we get a little bit more of this. I hope we get a little bit more. They've delivered on it.
Yeah, and I think Christopher Walken's a bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe like Irving is Gemma number two. Maybe he already was. Who knows? I feel as though we're going to see Irving's innie again, but in a space where he's not allowed to leave. And like, that's almost best case scenario, because the alternative is him getting completely murked and murdered.
Yeah, right. But like, what's worse at that point, you know?
Getting murdered.
Is it though, when you don't have control of your brain and you're stuck in a prison?
No, 100% getting murdered is worse.
I don't know, man. I'd rather say goodbye, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. This is a tale as old as time, an argument for the ages.
That's it.
Anyway, thank you very much for joining us on our quick hit recap of episode 6. Adam, can you tell the people where to find us on the internet?
I absolutely can, Ryan. Please follow us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For $1 or more a month, you can support us, get stuff early, ad-free, and occasional Patreon exclusives, which we're going to start doing more of. So get excited for that.
Somehow I'm going to slow down there for a second for some housekeeping. Like, there's so many good shows on. It is an golden era of television, as we previously discussed on the Patreon. And so there are so many shows, including, you know, that we're watching like right now, right? Like in March of 2025, that are great, but we don't have time to do full episodes on, aka The White Lotus, which we'll probably do a recap of the entire season when it's done. But also, you know, Invincible, The Pit, Paradise, Reacher, which kind of sucks, and others. So we're gonna start like doing kind of quick hitty things on other things that we're watching on the Patreon more often, and it's $1 a month, so like it's basically an extra 10 to 15 minutes a week of talking about television. That's $1 a month. So I don't know, it seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, do you like coffee? Cool, give us one coffee, you know.
Okay.
Just give us, you know, just give us a coffee.
You're right. Yeah. Macchiato. I'll take a macchiato, please.
You know what? If you want to do the $3 tier, I will take that caramel, that iced caramel macchiato.
If we're being honest, it's going to be like $6.50. So,
oh, shoot. You're right. Inflation. Macchiatos,
they are expensive. They come from Mexico. Sorry.
Jesus. So we also say your name at the end of every episode. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, fuck you, Mr. Milchek, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Buffalo Bizzle, C Fritz, and Cat's Pajama 10. And thank you, Brentkin and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 tier patron. See, some people do pay the extra, and we thank you for it. And we love all of you, and thank you for everything you do. Follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys Pod or Podcast on Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, TikTok, wherever you can find your podcast. Subscribe and listen along for week to week updates.
Yeah, leave a review. Say it's good or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There's like a way to rate it up in Spotify, and I think you can review it. I'm not sure, but you should do that. That's pretty cool.
You can do an Apple review. I don't think anyone's left a good, nice one ever, but
that's false.
All of them are like, you know who sucks? Ryan.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for joining us here, and we'll see you in the future. Have a very good rest of your day or whatever. Did that sound like I care? I do, I guess.
Sure.
That one didn't sound like I cared either. We need to stop this episode.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.